to birth a baby church. Praise God. All right, well, we are in Isaiah tonight, chapter 58. If you want to turn there, please. And as Paul said, Awana starts back up on Tuesday, so workers, please be there. 3:30 for Sparks, 6:30 for Awana. If you're interested in helping, we could use more workers in those two clubs, especially the evening club. The afternoon is from 3:30 to 5. That's for the 5 to 8-year-olds. And then the evening club is from 6:30 to 8, and that's for the 9 to 12-year-olds. So if you're willing to help in either of those, let me know. Or just come and have a look. See if it's something you might like to try. I know you would get a blessing out of ministering to these young people at Awana. And Wednesday night, we go in 1 John 5, continue our series there, The Victory That Overcometh the World. So that's on Wednesday night. You don't want to miss that opportunity to grow in God's Word as well. So we've been walking through Isaiah for just about 2 years now. What a blessing it's been. And tonight we are reminded that our God answers prayer. Praise the Lord. But it is often conditional on us, as we'll be reminded tonight. So starting in verse 1 of 58, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes unto him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy re-reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The Lord shall answer. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for this privilege, and we pray you'd use your word in our lives tonight to teach us, to grow us, to change us. It's just so exciting to know, Lord, that this book has the power to work miracles. And we pray now that's what would happen in this service. We'd be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, even more so than we were before we came, and that you would be glorified and lifted up. We love you and pray this in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So you can see tonight where God is promising his blessings, promising to answer prayer, but you can also see where it is conditional upon our hearts being right with him. And this is a common theme throughout the scriptures. Next week we'll be looking at chapter 59, the first two verses. What does he say? He says that your sins, he said, the Lord's hand is not short and it cannot save, neither is there heavy and they cannot hear, but your sins, it says, your iniquities are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. It is sin that hinders prayer. That is Old Testament, that is New Testament. Sin hinders prayer, as we see. He says here in the first part of the chapter, he says that Jacob is talking to God, as he says here in verse 2, as though they were a nation that did righteousness. He says, you're coming to me as if your hearts are right. And you're acting like your hearts are right by the way you're approaching me. He says, but I know your hearts are not right. And until your hearts are right, I'm not going to listen. If we don't come to God with this attitude of humility, this attitude of repentance, this attitude of being right with Him, then it's going to hinder our prayer lives. We have a classic example of this in a parable in Luke 18, if you want to turn there, where Jesus Christ was not only teaching us through the parable, but at the same time rebuking the Pharisees because they had this issue where they were basing everything on the externals. They said, as long as we do this, 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 and this, we're right with God, and they weren't right with God. And they believed that all that external stuff was going to get them to heaven. And so Jesus told a parable with the Pharisees standing there and basically rebuked them through this parable. Verse 10 of Luke 18. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing far off and not lift up so much of his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Look what Jesus says. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The publican who just smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, that one went down to his house justified. The man who stood and prayed and said, oh God, I'm so thankful I'm not like this guy. He had his measurement system. He says, as long as I'm not like that, I'm a good person. As long as I'm not an adulterer, an extortioner, as long as I'm unjust. Lord, I fast. Lord, I give tithes. Bless me. But his heart wasn't right. And as he said, you have to humble yourself to be exalted. If you exalt yourself, you'll be humbled. And that is the same with prayer. As he says to them, notice in verse 5 of our passage, Isaiah 58, he says, is it such a fast that I have chosen? Yes, you're fasting because that's what you do, because that's the tradition. But is it the kind of fast that I'm asking for? He says it again in verse 6, is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness? He says, I'm not interested in the outward. I'm interested in the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, right? 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord looketh on the heart. And so God is trying to get across to them, I see your heart. Until your heart is right, you can do all this external stuff. It will make no difference. It's just external stuff. It doesn't fix the heart problems. And most of our problems are heart problems, as we know. Rebellion to God's word, rebellion to God's ways will hinder our prayers. And again, that's Old Testament, that's New Testament. Proverbs 28:9. Let's look there quickly. Just give you a couple scriptures on this topic, but they're everywhere in the Bible. Proverbs 28:9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. If we aren't going to listen to the word, what's it do? Hinder our prayers. Psalm 66:18 was to say, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There it is again. Sin hinders prayer. Mark 11:25. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Unforgiveness hinders prayer. And we can go on and on. You have not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. James 4:3. So sin hinders prayer. And God is trying to get that across to Israel. And they weren't getting it. Look at 1 John 3:22, please. Even when we come to God, if we aren't not believing that He'll answer, it hinders prayer. Doesn't the Bible say, if any of you... What's it say? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We cannot please God without faith. And that includes our prayer lives. If we're coming to God saying, God, please, I need this, but in our hearts we're saying, I know God's not going to do this. It's done. It's not going to happen. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So God is trying to get across to Israel here in Isaiah 58. Notice 1 John 3:22. He says, and whatsoever we ask, that's a great phrase, isn't it? We receive of Him because, there's a because. We keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Our God is a prayer answering God, no question about it. But prayer is conditional upon us. Not Him. He can do anything. He's the God of the impossible. But sin hinders prayer. And that's what God's trying to say to them here in Isaiah 58. He says in verse 5, this isn't the fast I've chosen. He says in verse 6, this is the fast that I've chosen. Get your hearts right. Get rid of the wickedness. And then we'll talk. And look at the promises He makes. Look at starting in verse 8. Then, Isaiah 58. Then shall thy light break forth as a morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Wow, that's quite a verse. But there's a then in front of that verse. Then. After what? Verses 6 and 7. After you get right with God. Then God promises things will be better. Most of us know the famous revival verse, right? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then. So first there's this big F. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If then. That's the way prayer works with God. Good. Look, if you would, to Psalm 51, where David learned this personally, experientially in his own life. David was a man after God's own heart. Psalm 51. If you turn there. David loved God and God loved David. But David was human and a sinner like the rest of us. And we all know what he did with Bathsheba and Uriah and so forth. And the sin that he committed. And then God's punishment was to lose the child that was born of Bathsheba. Then he wrote this psalm. Probably the most beautiful penitential psalm in the Bible. If you ever really need to get back with God, I tell people often in counseling, go home and I want you to read through this psalm every night on your knees. I've told many people that. Do it on your knees. Get through this psalm on your knees without the Holy Spirit doing something in your heart. Can't do it. Verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, the only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. There's that word then again. Lord, make me right with you. Cleanse my heart. Forgive me of this wrong that I've done. Then what will happen? Things will change. I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. My life will be different. But it always comes back and starts with repentance. Look back at our passage, Isaiah 58, verse 9. Another then statement. He says, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Amen. Our God is a prayer answering God. The Bible says in Psalm 65:2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. God answers prayer. There's no question about it. Jesus says, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek and you shall find. God wants us to pray. God loves it when we pray. It brings Him glory. But we're going to hinder our prayers with sin. Verse 10, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. So there it is again. If, then. If, then. Over and over. God promises to guide. He says, I will instruct thee with mine eye. I will lead thee in the way which thou shalt go, in Psalm 32:8. Psalm 107:9, he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. All these blessings he promises upon his people, and we're his people. Again, verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Another if. If. Remember, God had a covenant with Israel. The Sabbath was extremely important. They were violating it over and over again. He says, if you don't get that sorted out, it's going to withhold the blessings. But he says, if you do, look at verse 14, then, there it is again. If you make things right, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Prayer for a Christian is an if-then. That's just the facts. We've already looked at a lot of the scriptures that show that sin hinders prayer. And God wants to answer our prayers. God promises to answer our prayers. But our fellowship is hindered with sin. And Jacob had not learned that. The Pharisees didn't learn it when Jesus came. They thought it was all about the externals. As long as I do this, 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 and this, I'm right with God and I'm going to heaven. And Jesus had to constantly rebuke them and say, that's not the way it is. Your heart has to be right with the Lord. Talking about these high places in verse 14, have a quick look at Habakkuk, if you would, chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Sorry, I have to do that for myself to get to the right book. Right after Nahum, there it is. Habakkuk chapter 3, look at verse 19. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer of my stringed instruments. Now, Habakkuk was one of God's prophets, but I want you to see here in verse 17 that everything was falling apart for him. The fig tree wasn't blossoming, the fruit tree wasn't vining, the labor of the olive was failing, the fields were not yielding the meat, the flock was cut off, no herd in the stalls. Things were really bad. You mean sometimes for Christians things might not go so well? That's what the Bible says. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Read the book of Job. But his perspective changed in verse 18. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Everything's falling apart around me. Things aren't going the way I'd hoped they would. But I'm not going to stop praising God. I'm not going to stop doing the right thing. I'm not going to stop rejoicing in the Lord. And look at the result. God's going to be my strength, and he's going to make my feet like hinds' feet, and I'm going to walk upon my high places. And here in Isaiah 58, God is saying the same thing to Israel. All of these blessings I'm ready to pour out upon you. You are my people, my precious ones. You will always be my people. But I can't pour out these blessings. Look at the list, starting in verse 8. I'll just read them off. Light, health, righteousness, glory, answered prayer, his guidance, his satisfaction of the soul, walking upon the high places. That's a lot of blessings. But the whole chapter is an if-then chapter. If you will make things right, if you will repent, if you will remove the sin out of your life, then I will answer. Just one more verse in Deuteronomy 9. I want to show you an example way in the early days of Israel where God was making it clear. That he wasn't blessing them because of who they were. He was blessing them because of who he is. And oftentimes we as Christians lose sight of this. We think that, well, you know, I've been saved 20 years and I've been going to church for 20 years. I've been teaching Sunday school for 10 years. I deserve God's blessings. But we don't. We're just wicked sinners that deserve to go to hell. If it wasn't for salvation, we'd be going to hell. We don't deserve them. Now God gives them to us because He's a great God and He loves us. And Israel started off with the right attitude, but eventually they started thinking, you know, we're Israel. We deserve to be blessed. We're Israel. We deserve God to pour out all this upon us. No. Notice Isaiah 9:6. God said, "Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people." He says, I'm not giving you the promised land because of who you are. I'm giving you the promised land because of who I am. God doesn't bless us because of we deserve the blessings. He blesses us because He's a loving Father, because of who He is. And Israel just didn't get it. Even when Jesus came on the scene, what angered them the most about Jesus? The word repent. Really, if you had to boil it down to one word, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If He just wouldn't have said repent, if He would have just said the kingdom of heaven's here, they would have been thrilled. But first came the repent. And then He started preaching about sin. They didn't want to hear about that. They wanted to hear, we want the Messiah. We want to be out from under Roman rule. We want our own kingdom. We want all this stuff. We want. But we don't want to get our hearts right. And Isaiah 58 is a classic example of that. Verse 2, they come to me as though they're a nation that did righteousness. We must always be careful about our attitude and never come to God with an attitude like the man we read about in Luke 18. An attitude, Lord, I really deserve your blessings. Because we don't. Instead, we need to come with an attitude of, Lord, show me the areas of my life where I need to get sorted, where I need to be more like Jesus. And thank you that you're so good. And as long as that's our attitude, we're good. But never, never take the attitude of this Pharisee in Luke 18. So the Lord shall answer. That's the title of our message tonight. He promises He is a God of answered prayer and He will answer. But again, 1 John 3:22, if we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight, falls on us to be right with God and watch the blessings pour out. Praise the Lord. The Lord shall answer. Let's pray.